Let me just read for you from Colossians 4, just to remind you what Paul said when he said, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. And we talked about the fact that there is an outside and an inside. Exo, outside. Those exo, outside. Not everyone is a Christian. Not everybody is a child of God. Not everybody is born again. Jesus said you must enter the kingdom. You must come endo because you are exo. And every person in this room who's come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you've been saved. You've received Christ. You went from the outside to the inside. And now part of our reason for being on the planet is to help bring people from the outside to the inside. Now, this is all the work, ultimately, of the Spirit of God, but he has left us as part of the process. And so Paul says, conduct yourself with wisdom. You need to have the mind of God and how to deal with people that are on the outside. They're all different. There's not one size fits all. There's not one word for every person exactly the same approach. There's one gospel. There's one plan of salvation, but there are many ways to deal with people. In fact, every person needs a tailored way because they are who they are. They're individuals. And so we're not robots. We don't just do things the same way with each person. And so he says you need to make the most of every opportunity and let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. So each person needs the right approach for them. And we're part of that process for people. And of course, many times that's a whole bunch of people. Any one of you who shared your, if you were to share your testimony, more than likely there were multiple people involved in bringing you to know Christ, right? Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was your parents plus Sunday school teachers. Maybe you didn't grow up in church and somebody came along and said something to you that kind of planted a seed in your heart, and then somebody else watered that seed, and eventually you came to faith. And so each person along the way needs what God has provided for them through us. And so what I hope this ends up being last week and tonight is things to spur your thinking, things to spark creativity and how you're going to approach people, awareness and compassion, as we said, that Jesus has for people, and as he demonstrated that on the earth, he had compassion. And then we said that Jesus asked questions. He didn't just make statements. He asked questions. Some were, rhetorical questions that he wasn't really expecting an answer from the crowd. He was asking a question to make a point. But then there were a lot of questions he asked. He asked somebody directly a question because he was interested in their life. He was God. He could have just said, I already know what you need. I already know what's going to happen in your life. That's not what he did. He asked questions. And so we're learning to ask questions. And it's something that is not only a common courtesy that Christians should exhibit, it's also a way to get to know people and show them that you care about them and that you're interested in their life, so that when it does come to the point of sharing the gospel, whether that's in the same conversation that you meet them or over time, depending on who the person is, you will have the wisdom of God. And so we've been talking practically how to do that. So this is not like a regular sermon where I'm going through one particular text. This is me giving you some things that I hope will be helpful to you in fulfilling what Paul said and knowing how to respond to each person. Now, last week I said, we introduced a question you could ask, and that is, do you ever think about spiritual things? And I laid all out why I think that's a great question to ask somebody, and it's a very natural question if you're trying to get a spiritual conversation going. Maybe you've had some other things going on in the conversation. Maybe you've talked about church or the fact that you're a Christian, whatever. But you eventually say, well, do you ever think about spiritual things? And tonight I want to talk about that question again and then other possible questions and approaches that come with this. But before I do, I want to ask you a question. And I mean, it was just last week, so I mean, I'm not going to have a super high expectation, but did anybody ask somebody else that question? Did you get to the point in a conversation where you were able to say, do you ever think about spiritual things? If you did, raise your hand. Anybody? Okay. The second thing I asked is, that we were talking about, especially on Sunday morning, was engagement. Moving from just moving, going through our life without connecting with people, but actually making a move towards engagement. Even as simple as meeting somebody or just being more open or more free with your person towards other people, engaging them to the point where the hope is that someday you'll be able to reach them and get to the point of asking, do you ever think about spiritual things? So how many of you would you say you made some level of engagement this week? All right, bunch of you. So I want to hear some stories, real quick stories. Jim, start us off. You know, it's so many times over the years, Jim, and I know the experience, you ask somebody a very basic question and it indicates that they're not really trusting in the Lord or they don't really know what it means to be saved. They would even say they're a Christian. And you say, hey, could I share with you how you could know for certain? And you go through the whole gospel and at the end they say, well, that's what I believe. That's happened so many times to me. But you know what? The value of that is, I believe in some of those cases, someone is coming to faith even as you are explaining, and now you're educating their faith and taking it to the level of trust, and which is very valuable. So in a way, you were discipling her, which is a beautiful thing. And good for you. Jim is if you ever want to learn about how to share your faith with somebody, spend some time with Jim Evans. He's just a faithful witness for the gospel, and I'm very inspired by the way you live your life, Jim, and I appreciate it. All right, some other engagements. They may not be full gospel presentations, but another engagement. Somebody else. I want to hear a bunch of them real quick. Now, I knew there were more hands up than that. Okay. Okay, Madeleine? So this is a relationship over time that you're able to keep watering that seed that you planted years ago, I guess. Okay, awesome. That's great. John, did you have something? You've got somebody to share with. That's awesome. What's his name?
Well, she told me about this guy, his parents died, and he was super terrified of God, but praying that God would get him parents like older than he is. Born like early 70s or so.
Okay.
And that he would get adopted siblings.
All right.
Wow, that would help him.
So you're praying for him.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Very good. Good, good, good. That's it. You know, praying for somebody is what John's doing here. Praying for somebody is engagement. You realize, and I've said this so many times, but I think we need to hear it over and over. When you offer to pray for somebody and pray for them, that may be the first time anybody has ever prayed for them. We're used to that. You know, we pray for each other. Can't pray for me? Hey, could you pray for me? Sure, no problem. A lot of people that you know, that you engage with out in the world, nobody has ever prayed for them or offered to pray for them or stopped to pray for them. In fact, I think that's even the best. When you say, hey, I'll pray for you. Hey, could we just pray right now? I won't pray a long time. Could we just pray for you right now? And they say, okay. And then you do. You realize for most people, that would be the first time that's ever happened to them. And they don't forget it. You move on because you do this all the time. They never forget that. That's such an awesome thing. All right, somebody else. Yeah, Toby. But something made her come back, right? Am I exaggerating that?
No.
She said no, and she walked away, and something inside her said, no, go back. Go back and ask them to pray for you. That's good. Somebody else? Yeah, Pete. Awesome. Very good. I missed that in Sunday school about Amos. That's good. You know, I got a barber named Amos. Somebody else? Terry? Package deal. Yeah. That's good. You know, hearing other people's stories inspires your own. And just hearing Terry say, hey, Christian music playing in an appropriate setting can be a great start to a conversation because of there it is going away. But people kind of tend to be okay with music. It's music. And it can be a conversation starter. That's excellent. Somebody else. This is good. We haven't done this in a while. Agnes.
Well, I just started a new job on Monday, so right now everybody I meet is a new engagement.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's work, so you've got to be careful. This is not a Christian organization, so you've got to be careful how you approach things. But I've got kind of like, you know, everybody wants to know who I am, and they ask a lot of questions. So there's kind of, there's always a little shoe in, you know, like, oh, where does your daughter go to school? Oh, she goes to Sharing Mills, you know, and all that thing, you know. And so they go, and you're like, do you do accounting? Yeah, yeah, I do accounting all the time. I even do accounting for my church. Oh, so, you know, I'm kind of like planting seeds. So far, nobody's biting, but, you know, only every day. Give me some time.
That's good. Walking calculatedly in how you go about. That's good. All right, somebody else? Yes, sir, Sam. When you have a relationship like that, a work relationship, where you can kind of build on conversations, you don't have to do everything all at once unless the Lord just leads you to. But so you got like Terry and Sam. Terry's talking about, I may never see this guy again. So that's going to be one approach. I see this person daily, so I can keep working daily, you know, planting seeds, being available, and God uses all of that. Remember the text. How to respond to each person. And that's where we need the Lord's guidance. All right, how about one more? Somebody else. Yes. And that's great, Lizette. Oh, you never know. Maybe when you left that company, you thought, well, I'll never have another opportunity. And here we are. How long did you say? 5 years?
3 years ago. I worked there for 3 years. And about 5 years ago, I left.
Yeah. 5 years later. Yeah. Great. Amen. And that reminds me something Madeleine said. One of the ways we can engage is with resources. You know, it's not always what we say. It can be something we share to read or a video or something if strategically, you know, use, not just blindly use, but something very thoughtful. And the way you give that to somebody can make a difference. Well, these are great. Thank you for sharing. And let's maybe do that some more, because I don't want this to be like a, okay, we talked about this, you know, 1 week, and now we move on to something else. Evangelism, reaching out, is always part of our lives, and so let's continue to be doing that. Well, tonight I want us to keep going on this idea and building on this question of, do you ever think about spiritual things? I recognize this is not the only way to start a spiritual conversation. In fact, I want to give you some other possible questions you can ask somebody, but it really can be a way to not just tell somebody something. The beauty of it is that you're starting the conversation spiritually with a question. You want to know what they think, what they feel, what's on their minds, and that always engenders a sense of genuineness on your part and that you're interested in their life. It's not just you're going to tell them something. So it's a great question to use, and I said we're going to kind of follow the sheet here tonight. So let's assume they say yes. As I said, most people say yes in my lifetime. That I've been asking this question for 30 years, and very few people, now, you know, I had to tell you about one just recently, but have said no to that question. And it does happen. You are going to get that probably. But most people are going to say yes, because most people are thinking on some level about spiritual things. And if you ask the question with an openness to the answer, you're probably going to get a yes or some kind of positive thing, or at least an answer that immediately even starts asking the next question that you would follow it up with. So I said, if you ask the question, do you ever think about spiritual things? If they say yes, you could say something like, well, great. You know, I think most people would join you in that. You know, most people do think about spiritual things. And here's another thing. The more you ask this question, the more you can honestly say to somebody, you know, most people I ask that question to say yes. So, you know, you're in good company. And then here's the follow-up question. So when you do think about spiritual things, what comes into your mind? So you think about spiritual things. Tell me about that. What does that look like? Or what kind of spiritual things do you think about? Again, you're just asking a question. You're not telling. You're not intimidating. You're being interested. Very, very helpful thing to do. And many people, at this point, at least in my experience, many people will refer back to their upbringing. In fact, they might even answer the question with an upbringing. If I say, hey, do you ever think about spiritual things? They may say, oh, yeah, you know, I was raised in the such and such church, or I I used to think about those things when I was a kid, and then not now, not so much, or whatever. But it's almost amazing how people will refer back to their past. And so you can, by paying attention to what they're saying, that gives you a whole new set of questions that you can ask, or whatever it may be. And many people will refer back to their upbringing, whether it's positive or negative, which will allow you to continue to ask follow-up questions. Let me share some more follow-up questions with you. And I wrote these down so you don't have to try to, you know, take pictures of the screen and all that. I really want you to have this, because it's not for you just to be to have an impression on you of saying, hey, I'd like to try that. No, these are actual things you can do, and then tailor it in your own life. So let's say they say, I think about spiritual things, or they may just say yes. Okay, well, now what? Well, what does that look like? They give you some kind of answer, and then you could ask questions like, do you think about that often? How often does that come into your mind? Is that something that's on your mind a lot, or maybe just occasionally? And again, that's a question for people to say, and they answer the question. You could ask, if they didn't tell you it's from their childhood, you can say, is that from your childhood, or is that how you grew up? And I think you'll find, as in your own life, people as children have profound theological questions. And I think a lot of people ask their parents, let's say their parents are not particularly spiritual or go to church, but they have something sparked a question from their childhood, and they ask their parents, and their parents don't know what to do with it, but that question started when they were a child. Here's one. If they say, yes, I think about spiritual things, and they give you some indication of what that is, if it's appropriate, you could ask them, so, you believe in God? So the assumption is they do. So you believe in God? Now, That's a great question, because most people would say they do, and it gives them a chance to answer positively, okay? So, like, for instance, this week I was getting the battery tested on the car, and it wasn't starting well, and so I went to Napa Auto Parts where the battery had been bought. It's actually my father's car, and this kid came out to help me test it. And so he lived in Homestead. I said, where do you live? His name was Rodney. I said, where do you live, Rodney? He said, I live in Homestead. This was down in Key Largo. And I said, oh, you drive all the way down from Homestead? He said, yeah, probably most people around here do. You know, we're just making conversations. I'm just asking him questions. And I said, do you know where First Baptist Church is? No. I think it's on Chrome. He said, oh, I know where that is. I said, by the way, I have a friend that's the pastor there. And I think he would like that church. It's some really nice people. And he said, oh, okay. I said, do you ever think about spiritual things? And he said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm not an atheist or nothing. I said, oh, great, so you believe in God. He said, oh, yeah. He said, yeah, you know, my parents are Christians, but I don't go to church, and they're more into that than I am. And so that just, the conversation went on from there. And, you know, he was busy, so I didn't get to spend a long time with him. But I was planting a seed in his life and asking him questions that he had no problem answering. I don't think he detected a shred of salesmanship, because I was just asking questions and, you know, making a suggestion. I really think if we would think about spiritual conversations that way, we could get more readily, too. Now, I'm going to run into that guy again, because I'm down there quite often, and I go to that auto parts store, and I know who Rodney is now, you know, I'm nothing special, but not everybody asks questions like that, you know, on any given day at Napa Auto Parts. So when I walk in the next time, he's probably going to remember me, and I maybe even can refer back to the question. So these are the kind of relationships that we can build by asking these questions. So you believe in God? And, of course, that can run the conversation. And remember, I'm not into all the details of how to get through the entire gospel. That's not my purpose tonight. That's a whole other conversation. What I'm trying to do is encourage our congregation to become more comfortable with starting a spiritual conversation. Because I really believe if you know the Lord, you know more than you think you know. You know more to say than you think. You just need to get started. And if you can get started, it's amazing how the Lord will take it in places you didn't know could go. So I think the devil's big ploy is keeping us from getting started. So that's my point, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. Here's another follow-up question you could ask somebody. You could say, well, what questions do you have about, and depending on whatever they answered, so they've given you some level of understanding of what they think about spiritually. And you could ask them, well, what questions do you have about that, whatever it is they just told you? If they don't know what to do with that, you could ask them, do you ever think about or have questions about heaven or the afterlife, you know, things like that. Here's another question that I think is very relevant to find out where they're coming from. Do you think God can be known? Now think about the answer to that. Do you think God can be known? We've established that you believe in God. Do you think God could be known? Now, people are going to have an opinion about that. It'll either be, I don't know, or, well, yeah, I mean, I would think God could be known, or maybe even, no, I believe there's a God, but I don't think you can know who it is. It doesn't matter what the answer to that question is. The gospel answers every one of those positions. Think about it. So what you're doing is asking them to think about something that will help them to be more open to what you do eventually share in the gospel. Because what is the gospel? God can be known. And what's the greatest way that we can know God? Through his son Jesus Christ, who came to the earth, God in human flesh, to help us know God, to help us know who God is and what he's like and what he has to say and what his attitude is towards people. In his nature. So the essence of the gospel is in that question. Do you think God can be known? And for our purposes in reaching out to people, it is not just telling them who God is, it's asking them to think about the reality that God can be known. So if they're free with their answers, you can ask even more personal questions, even like really personal questions, depending on what would be appropriate. This is where we need the Lord's wisdom, how to respond to each person. For instance, I think at this point, almost any spiritual question you ask can be legitimate. If you got this far, they're opening up, they're talking to you, they're answering your questions. You're not just telling them stuff. And so in the process of answering your questions, they're going to tell you some things that give you an indication of what they think. And most people, as you know, are going to come up with, well, you know, I'm just trying to do the best I can. I'm not a bad person. Or I try to be, you know, good. I try to do the right thing or whatever. Because that's, you know, most people, that's their theology, a works-based theology. And again, follow-up questions rather than statements. You could say something like, "Wow, so going to heaven is based on how well you're doing on the earth? Am I understanding you correctly?" And they would say, "Well, yeah, because that's what most people think." And then the next question is a little bit more pointed. "Well, so how are you doing?" If it's based on how well you're doing, well, then how are you doing with that? Do you think that you're good enough, or do you think that you're on the road or whatever? Again, their answers to that are going to tell you what to do next. And then eventually you're going to come around, not with a snarky, I know better than you attitude is, because nobody has assurance that thinks that way anyway. Very few people think they're good enough. Or if they do, there's a question mark about it. And so you get to share the gospel at that point. So this is a great time for things like the EE questions. By the way, those are excellent questions. Here's the two EE questions for you. If you can ask somebody, if you were to die today, do you know for certain that you would go to heaven? For certain. You're going to get an answer that will tell you what to do next. Suppose you did stand before God. Second question. And he said, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? In other words, you could just say, "Hey, what's your basis for getting into heaven? What do you think it takes for a person to get into heaven?" And depending on the person's personality, that might be a very appropriate question. But they're going to give you their answer. And most people are going to say, "Well, you know, I'm trying to do the best." Again, same old thing, works-based answers. And so the universal response that we can give to any of those questions is this. Well, I have some good news for you. I have good news for you. I believe you can know for sure that you can know God and go to heaven when you die. And that leads you into the gospel. Now, I want to flip over the thing there. And this is where you can take different approaches to the gospel and bring them into the conversation. So in my case, if I ask those questions and we've established that, hey, you have a fuzzy idea of heaven, you have a fuzzy idea of the gospel, or your approach, the person you're talking to, they don't really know. So now I have the opportunity to share the gospel. And for me, I usually start off by saying, "Can I draw you a picture?" Most people will tell me, "Sure, draw me a picture." I didn't say, "Can I preach a sermon to you?" I said, "Can I draw you a picture?" And so I draw the gospel, and many of you know how I do that. I'm working on something that's going to be a resource for you in that regard. It's the way that it really came alive to me when I took my PowerPoint from the bridge illustration that I use on Sunday mornings, and I used that PowerPoint when I was sharing the gospel with Jaromir Hrechko, who he married Abigail Martinez here several months ago. And I walked through the PowerPoint with him on a screen. And at the end of that time, his mind was open, his heart was open. He readily received the gospel. He prayed to receive the Lord, and he's still, you know, they just moved to North Dakota. But until then, you know, he was excited about sharing the gospel with his family, and all of that. And the scripture's there, the illustration's there. And so what I'm working on is getting it in a format where you could take the same file and on your phone walk through screen by screen, just talking through the gospel with somebody, with the illustrations, with the scriptures and everything. So hang on to that. I'm going to make it available very soon. But Can I draw you a picture? So that's my way. But here's another one that I want to share with you that I think is very doable. If you ask the question, have you ever read the Bible? Most people would tell you, if they're honest, no. Most people have not read the Bible. Maybe they did a little bit if they grew up in a church, but even in church, in a lot of churches, they didn't read the Bible. So, have you ever read the Bible? Whatever the answer is, here's the next question. Can I share one verse with you from the Bible? That's the question. Can I share one verse from the Bible with you? Now, that's a pretty easy yes. If you've gotten this far in a conversation, I doubt most people would say, no, I don't want to hear anything from the Bible. You know, they would have told you no earlier, okay? So if you just say, can I share one verse from you, one verse with you from the Bible? And maybe you add a verse that means a lot to me, means a lot to me. And then you share what I call one verse evangelism. One verse evangelism. Now, I've given you several verses there that could be, well, one of them is two verses, and we'll just count that as one. Just one complete thought. These are single verses that are wonderful for having a basic gospel conversation, okay? So, again, most people would say, sure, you can share one verse from the Bible. Not that it has to be one verse, but this is one way to do it. And so you take one of these verses and you read the verse to them, show it to them, maybe on your phone or write it out or you've got it written down. Maybe this is going to be your way of doing it. So you keep some little pieces of paper with that verse in it and you say, here's the one verse, okay? However you choose to do it. And you read the verse to them. Let's just start with John 3:16 to give you an example. Now, this is the one that would be probably the most familiar. Have you ever heard of John 3:16? Oh, yeah, I see that on the football, you know. Tim Tebow, you know, whatever. I don't know what it means, but well, I'm going to share it. Let's just look at that verse. And so you read the verse for them. For God so loved the world. Now, imagine hearing this for the first time. You're so used to this. But imagine hearing it for the first time. This is a profound experience for somebody. You're used to it. You can't let your familiarity make you go fast or rush over it. Let it each word sink in. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The gospel is there. And think, and then is now you've only shared one verse, but you could talk for hours about that verse, right? Now, don't do that, at least in most circumstances. But if you go back through and say, wow, you know, that's just one verse, but it's packed with all kinds of amazing truth. Look at some of those key words. And almost every word in that verse is a springboard to an explanation, okay? For God, so there is a God. And you can, if you have the time, you explain who that God is. He loves the world. He loves people. He's not some distant being that doesn't care. He gave. There's the incarnation. You can explain how Jesus came to the earth. God gave his Son. Now, that's kind of strange that that God has a Son, but that's what the Bible says. And so you explain that the Son is Jesus Christ. That whoever believes in him, so it's not the things you do for him, it's what you believe in him. It's not the works that you do, it's what you believe about him and that you're trusting in him. Not perish, he dying eternally and having eternal life. You said, so I mean, you know, I could start doing it right here. But one verse. So that's one verse. Here's another one. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, depending on the person you're talking to and their understanding of God and the questions that they've answered, and that might be a very appropriate verse. Maybe this person is somebody at work, and they're just known for being helpful to everybody, okay? They're just known as a servant at work. They're just so nice and so helpful. Well, that'd be a great verse to share with somebody. Because you could even say, you know what, you're so good at serving other people here at the company or in the shop or whatever. I want to tell you about a God who serves. He didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. How did he serve us? He gave his life, and you explain about the cross and Jesus giving himself as a sacrifice, a ransom. That's a key word, a ransom for many. You can have an illustration about ransom. He was dying as a ransom for us. He was dying in our place. He was paying the price. So one verse, just one verse that plants the seed. All right, here's another one, Romans 5:8. You could just read this one verse. God shows his love for us. Oh, so God loves us. And that while we were still sinners, oh, maybe we need to spend some time on what that means, that we are all sinners before a holy God. You can explain that. And so what's the solution to that? Christ died for us. One verse. Now, this is Romans 6:23, the next verse, is probably one of the best to use for one verse evangelism. Think about how each word is so crucial to the gospel. The wages of sin is death. So already we've introduced the problem. We all have a sin problem, and the result of that is death, eternal death. But the free gift of God, not something you earn or deserve, it's a free gift, just needs to be received, is what? Eternal life. So we can have eternal life. That's heaven. How do we get it? It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Why? Because of what he did for us at the cross. So you could use Romans 6:23 all the way through. Just one verse. Can I just share one verse from the Bible that means a lot to me? Okay, go ahead. And then you're going to give them life-saving truth. Wow. Romans 8:1. Maybe you're talking to somebody who just feels so guilty. Maybe they grew up in a church where it was all about God's judgment and no real understanding of redemption and the gospel. And so they live under this cloud of guilt for the things they've done. What a relief it would be for you to share one verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So there's a way to have no condemnation? Yeah, it's found in Jesus Christ. It's not automatic. It's in Christ. Maybe you're talking to somebody who, you know, the typical works-based righteousness, you know, you do this and maybe you can work your way in and maybe you're trying to be a good person. Ephesians 2:8-9, of course, is the go-to verse. But let me tell you, the number of times, I don't know what the number is, that I've read this verse, these two verses, to somebody who has a works-based mentality, even within a Christian context, usually within a Catholic context, for a lot of the conversations I've had, when I read that verse to them, I've literally seen people's eyes get bigger and them say, I have never seen that before. I shared that with a young man one time, and he lit up like a light bulb, and he was so excited about what he heard. He was extremely religious, but he had no assurance of salvation. And I got a call from his mother after that about how, you know, wrong I was to say all these things to. Now he's talking about, you know, like I said, you believe the Bible? All I did was read the Bible to him. Well, okay. But for by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace, saved, faith. Look at the theology in that verse that you can explain. That not of yourselves. That contradicts everything that most people believe. It's the gift of God, not earned or deserved. And then he goes out of his way to say, not as a result of works. No one can boast. What an awesome one verse to share with somebody. And then you could even ask them, this is just the opposite of what most people think, right? Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf. If you want to explain the atonement to somebody of how Jesus takes our sin and we receive his righteousness, the exchange, the great exchange, for someone who needs a clear understanding of what Jesus did at the cross, maybe they already believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. A lot of people can tell you, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. So you know you're going to heaven, you know you have a relationship with God and you're saved forever? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can. Wait a minute, listen to what you just said. Jesus died on the cross. So obviously, they don't know what it means that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and verses like it explain that. The open heart responds to that with, oh, I never knew that. Wow. 1 Timothy 1:15. Maybe you're talking to somebody who, the church is full of hypocrites. Anybody ever get that? I knew a Christian once. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. You're exactly right. The church is full of sinners. And the guy that wrote a big portion of the Bible, of the New Testament at least, said he was the worst. That kind of silences the argument. We need grace. 1 John, last one, 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation. That's where a word you have an opportunity to explain. What does that mean? Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. God gets very angry with sin. You ever get mad about sin? You ever get mad about bad things that people do to each other? Oh, yeah, sure do. Well, guess what? God has a far more high level of anger against evil in this world than you and I could possibly have. And that's a real problem if we are evil. So what's the answer? His love that sent Jesus to take that wrath and anger against us on himself. And you get to explain the cross. So I'm giving you, I hope, ideas, ways that you can be praying to say, you know what, I would love to, I think I could actually say to somebody, could I just share one verse with you? Just one verse from the Bible that means a lot to me. That's easier than saying, could I have 45 minutes of your time? Now maybe you would get this, and I'm not decrying it. I'm just saying in most circumstances, you've only got a shorter amount of time. And one verse. And remember, the Word of God is powerful. If you're not just explaining concepts to somebody, you're working from the Bible. You're working from the Spirit-breathed, God-breathed words of God as the basis of your conversation. It is amazing what you think. You don't realize you know, but you really do, that if you could just get started with a verse and have somebody read it with you, you would be amazed at what you know to say. So that's why I'm convinced if we can just get the conversation started, then we will have the opportunity to explain the gospel. And maybe getting to that point is the points of engagement that we've already been talking about that will lead up to that conversation. So my goal tonight was just to give you some ideas, spur your thinking, get your creative juices going, get your confidence level a little higher, realizing, you know what? With the Lord's help, I could start that conversation. Whereas before you thought, I just don't know how to get it started. Do you ever think about spiritual things? That's an honest question. And going from there can be a very natural conversation. So I hope that you will take that and run with it. Let's have some more stories maybe next week of opportunities we've had to engage or to share. I think that if you pray that the Lord would give you the opportunity to ask that first question, you would be amazed at what he might do. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to be, I hope, inspired to bring ourselves into conversations of significance with other people. Lord, would you take over now and give the courage, the creativity, the determination, and the open door of opportunity for each person who's hearing this, including me. I thank you for Rodney opening up to me a little bit, and I pray for more opportunities with Rodney. And I pray, Lord, that you would help him to not forget that conversation under the hood of my car. And I say that, Lord, as an example to remind us all, Lord, that we all have a Rodney somewhere in our life, and I pray that you would make that person evident to us, even in the next 7 days before next Wednesday. Lord, we would not seek to just force something, but, Lord, give us boldness. Give us courage. Let us be initiators. Let us be full of love and compassion like you were. Let us ask questions like you did. Let us, Lord, see the truth that we can have a spiritual conversation with somebody. Lord, we reject the lie from Satan. We reject his lie that we cannot have spiritual conversations. We reject it in Jesus' name. And I pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes to the people around us, and you would open our mouths, and that we would have the answer that we need, and that we would, as Paul said, know how to respond to each person with grace and salt of our speech. Lord, I'm asking you to do that. I pray for an outpouring of grace and courage and love. I pray that you would squarely face us with an opportunity this week. I pray that for my brothers and my sisters. And I look forward to what you're going to do to glorify yourself as we seek to be a missional people. Thank you for the answer ahead of time. And thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.